Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
The quest for immortality and the urge to escape the inevitability of death has long been a preoccupation for us, as evidenced by the ancient Sumerian poem, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest example of written literature known today. In the poem, written sometime around 1800 BCE in Mesopotamia, the titular Gilgamesh, part hero, part arrogant demigod, undertakes an audacious mission to find the secret to immortality after being confronted by the inevitability of his own death. Though we might not be demigods like Gilgamesh, his desperate refusal to accept the inevitability of his fate is a deeply human one, and something that many of us can sympathize with. Whether we elect to place our hopes in the promises of religious teachers or in the invention and imagination of our leading biogerontologists, those that study the mechanics of aging, there aren't many of us who haven't contemplated the possibility of existing forever in one form or another. However, although some of us may want for it, being immortal is rarely portrayed as something desirable, and at the very least, as something that can only be achieved at a great cost. From the burdens of Conor MacLeod in his pursuit to become the only remaining Highlander, to the pitiful efforts of Melmoth the Wanderer to convince another soul to take on his pact with the devil in return for another 150 years of life. In fact, we take great pains to dissuade ourselves from wanting it. Perhaps this is simply to provide some comfort in the face of such a futile desire, but it doesn't stop us trying. Back in October this year, a team led by Tel Aviv University professor Shai Efrati published the results of an extraordinary study in the journal Aging. The study, to determine the effect of pure oxygen on the aging process, involved placing 35 adults over the age of 64 in a hyperbaric chamber and giving them pure oxygen for 90 minutes a day, 5 days a week, over the course of 3 months. Through this process, Efrati's team found they were able to successfully limit the buildup of senescent cells in the body, cells that have aged to the point where they can no longer replicate, leaving the body susceptible to many age-related diseases. Incredibly, not only did this delay the aging process, but actually reversed it. Aubrey de Grey, one of the best-known biogerontologists, has long insisted that medical technology will one day allow us to control the aging process, even making the stunning claim as far back as 2008 that the first person who'll live to 1,000 years old is already alive today. There are some, however, who'd say that this person isn't just alive right now, but they've already lived to be over 1,000 years old. You're listening to Unexplained, and I'm Richard MacLean Smith. It was sometime in the 1770s that Countess of Adhemar, Marie Antoinette's personal attendant, first met him. For her, it was his eyes that most stood out. They were like nothing she'd ever seen before. His teeth, too, were immaculate, and all the more noticeable for being framed by such a thick head of luxuriant jet black hair. And though his clothes were simple, they were nonetheless made from the finest materials and decorated with the most exquisite jewellery. It was an appearance she assumed would be accompanied by a certain steely, if not arrogant, countenance. However, when she finally plucked up the courage to approach him one afternoon at the court, though his stare was penetrating, so too was it soft and inviting. Despite everything the Countess had heard about the man, it was quite something to see him finally in the flesh, looking no more than 45 years old. And yet it was back in 1743, over 30 years previously, that he'd first appeared mysteriously one day at the Palace of Versailles, home to King of France, Louis XV, looking exactly the same age. For the Countess of Jersey, meeting him around the same time, the effect was even more stark. 50 years earlier, when living in Venice with her husband, who was the French ambassador at the time, she'd been introduced to a man that looked nearly identical, who went by the name of Marquis Belletti. Had it not been for the sheer number of intervening years, she would have sworn it was his double. The Countess was so taken by the similarities, she was compelled to ask him if perhaps this Belletti character had been his grandfather, or another close relative perhaps. The man simply smiled and congratulated the Countess on the solidity of her memory, for it was not his grandfather at all, but himself, who'd been travelling under a different name at the time. But it couldn't be, thought the Countess, realising as she drew a little closer to him that it was indeed the man she'd met in Venice all those years ago. If anything, he even looked a little younger than he had back then. The man, as it turned out, had been known by many names over the years, but there was one for which he will forever be known, the Count of Saint-Germain. It's not known exactly when the Count of Saint-Germain first arrived at the Palace of Versailles, only that he arrived a complete stranger, but left the talk of French upper-class society. A keen conversationalist, he was said to be immeasurably knowledgeable about everything, from politics and philosophy to art and the sciences, but also fluent in 9 languages, including Italian, Sanskrit and Chinese, as well as being, according to some, amongst the finest musicians of the day. But it was his apparent expertise in restoring jewels that first brought him to the attention of King Louis XV. In one instance, the Count was invited to fix a flawed diamond for the King. Having taken up the offer, he returned a month later and presented the King with his fixed diamond. Not only was the flaw removed, but the diamond was now somehow even bigger than it had been before. The royal jeweller, who inspected it soon afterwards, declared that whatever the mysterious Count had done to it had increased its worth by 50%. Soon rumours began to circulate about the true nature of this mysterious Count. Some declared him a charlatan, others that he was some kind of magician and expert alchemist, who'd even succeeded in discovering the Philosopher's Stone, the fabled substance that could turn base metals into gold and bestow those who knew its secret with the gift of immortality. Within a year, the Count of Saint-Germain had become so trusted by King Louis XV that when in December 1744 his mistress, the Duchess of Chartreuse, lay dying from a suspected poisoning, it was allegedly to the Count that the King turned for help. It isn't known exactly why the King would think Saint-Germain capable of it. Nonetheless, he is said to have begged him to make an antidote to cure the Duchess. However, the Count declined, saying that it was sadly too late to help. Many years later, when the Countess of Adhemar asked him why he didn't do it, the Count replied coolly that, had he done what the King asked, He would have been called on by each and any person hoping to save the life of a loved one every time they got sick. It was a responsibility that he could not bear, implying that although he was perfectly capable of holding sway over death, it would be simply impossible for him to save everybody. Do you ever have trouble sleeping? One especially spooky podcast keeping you up all night, perhaps? Do you ever worry that you aren't getting all the nutrients you need for your body to thrive? Athletic Greens is a great-tasting multivitamin and multimineral made from the most absorbable form of each ingredient that takes the guesswork out of knowing what to take or from where. What's more, Athletic Greens goes beyond the standard multivitamin by encompassing other nutrient categories to give you much more, helping to support gut health, energy, immunity, stress, and sleep. With as many as 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more nutrient-dense formula on the market. I enjoy it because it tastes good and makes getting as much high-quality nutrition as possible incredibly easy. So if you're looking to upgrade your multivitamin or take one nutritional formula that's going to help your daily nutritional basis, then you want to consider Athletic Greens. Right now, Athletic Greens is also giving my audience a special offer on top of their all-in-one formula, which is a free liquid vitamin D supplement, amounting to a one-year supply with your first purchase for additional immune support. Make an investment in your health today and try the ultimate all-in-one wellness bundle and support your immunity, gut health, and energy by visiting athleticgreens.com/unexplained. That's athleticgreens.com/unexplained. Strangely, for a man of such obvious renown, there exists little by way of letters, articles or memoir certifiably written by the Count himself, leading some to speculate as to whether he was even real at all. What we do have are a tantalising array of brief encounters and momentary glimpses of the man, as he crops up in the most unexpected places, and often in times of huge political significance. And so, like temporal detectives, we are left with only these scraps and snippets with which to give form to this most mystifying of individuals. The year after he is said to have first ingratiated himself with King Louis XV, we find him appearing suddenly in England in the midst of the Jacobite Rising, as the recently deposed House of Stuart attempted to regain control of the British throne. A letter written by Horace Walpole, author of The Castle of Otranto, considered to be the first Gothic novel, gives this account. The other day, they seized an odd man who goes by the name of Count Saint-Germain. He's been here these 2 years and will not tell who he is or where he is from, but professes that he does not go by his real name. He sings, plays on the violin wonderfully, composes, is mad and not very sensible. The Prince of Wales has had unsatiated curiosity about him, but in vain. The letter was written after the Count had been arrested when he was found to be carrying a note, allegedly from Charles Edward Stuart, head of the House of Stuart, thanking him for his help in trying to secure the throne. What exactly brought the Count to England, like much of what we know of his life, is unclear. What is known, however, is that two arias written by him were featured in an opera performed at the Haymarket Theatre in London earlier that year. The pieces of music, along with roughly 40 more Italian arias, 7 solos for the violin, and a collection of English songs, can be found in the classical music archives at the British Library. As musical historian Charles Burney wrote in his 1789 book, A General History of Music, an opera was attempted on April the 7th at the Little Theatre in the Haymarket, under the direction of Geminiani. Prince Labkowitz, who was at this time in London and fond of music, and the celebrated and mysterious Count Saint-Germain, attended all the rehearsals. Perhaps this is simply more evidence of the high regard with which the Count's musical talent was held. And yet it remains unusual that a man, of which so little has been recorded, would have his work performed in this manner. Things only become more intriguing when we take into account an unusual mural that was painted at the home of Johann Jakob Heidegger, once manager of the renowned King's Theatre in London. Heidegger bought the property in 1744 and had several murals of Swiss and Italian landscapes painted throughout it. And over one doorway, still existing today, forming part of the mural, you'll find the painting of a book open on a piece of music written by none other than Saint-Germain. The book also happens to be surrounded by a wreath of acanthus, a symbol of immortality. Heidegger's painting has led some to speculate that there was a little more to the Count's music than met the ear, that he'd buried all his magical secrets within it. One of the few letters attributed to the Count of Saint-Germain places him in India in 1755. It is there that he claims to have learned his peculiar talent for restoring jewels, although details of what he learned exactly are teasingly absent. As was ever the case, it wasn't merely a solitary trip of self-discovery, but one spent in the company of Lieutenant Colonel Robert Clive, who was busy laying the foundations of the British Empire in India at the time. In 1758, we find a tantalising mention of the Count in a letter written by Voltaire, one of the most brilliant writers and thinkers of the day, describing him as the man who does not die and who knows everything. And then 5 years later, this from Austrian politician Count Karl von Kerbenzel to the State Chancellor of the Habsburg Empire, Wenzel Anton. It was about 3 months ago that the person known by the name of the Count of Saint-Germain passed this way and came to see me. I found him the most singular man that I've ever saw in my life. I do not yet precisely know his birth. I believe, however, that he is the son of a clandestine union in a powerful and illustrious family. Possessing great wealth, he lives in the greatest simplicity. He knows everything and shows an uprightness, a goodness of soul, worthy of admiration. Among a number of his accomplishments he made, under my own eyes, some experiments, of which the most important, were the transmutation of iron into a metal as beautiful as gold, and at least as good. The Count was travelling under the name of Monsieur Zermont at the time. In the same year, famed philanderer Giacomo Casanova claimed to also have met the man. Then in 1770, the Count was allegedly spotted in the port of Livorno in Italy, dressed in a Russian naval uniform, going by the name of Count Soltikoff. There he was said to have stood shoulder to shoulder with Count Alexis Orlov, one of Russia's leading naval commanders at the time, who would soon after oversee the destruction of more or less the entire Turkish navy at the Battle of Kezma. The arrival of the Russian fleet at Livorno is considered by many to be the day that Russia announced itself on the world stage as a substantial political power in the affairs of Europe. The Count appearing once again to be at the very centre of the most pivotal moments in European politics. Rosemary Kent, a woman who lives on the edge of the infamous Black Hills Forest, needs your help to find her missing son. But to find him, you must investigate the mysterious forest yourself. Will you face down the horror of the Blair Witch and those who serve her? Blair Witch is the new horror subscription game brought to you by Hunt a Killer in partnership with Lionsgate. A fully immersive experience in the Blair Witch universe delivered straight to your door, and it's scary as hell. With a full season comprising of 6 boxes or episodes, each box will have you sifting through cryptic documents, discovering audio recordings, and solving some disturbing puzzles. Whether you're social distancing or struggling to find somewhere fun to go out for the night, this is the perfect game to play at home with a small group of friends, or even online via video calls, picking through the clues together under candlelight from the comfort of your own home. Hunt a Killer also makes the perfect last-minute gift and can be purchased as an e-gift and sent directly to your recipient's inbox right up until the holidays. Right now, you can go to hunterkiller.com/unexplained and use code unexplained for 20% off your first box. Again, make sure to use code unexplained for a 20% discount. When the Count returned to France in 1770, he was introduced to the Countess of Adhemar for the first time. Writing in her memoirs years later, She described a royal dinner which Saint-Germain attended. As was his custom, the Count ate nothing. In fact, it is said that no one ever saw him eat, despite the numerous meals and sophisticated engagements he attended. Instead, he preferred merely to regale the guests with his bizarre and unusual anecdotes. On this night, he spoke of the time he was introduced to a man, referred to only as Count R, who was on the verge of death when they first met. His perilous condition, according to Saint-Germain, was the result of a terrifying haunting he'd been suffering at the hands of a woman he'd inadvertently resurrected and then spurned. Every night at midnight, the ghost and its rotting body would arrive in his bedroom and crawl into his bed before vanishing in the morning. As Saint-Germain explained, knowing the powers he had at his disposal, he had little choice but to try and help the hapless Count R. And so it was soon after that Saint-Germain arrived at the man's home. At a quarter to midnight, having placed 7 lit candles around the sitting room, he traced out a triangle surrounded by a circle on the floor, one shaped to act as a gateway to the other realm, the other to protect him from whatever might appear. He then ordered Count R into the middle and warned him not to leave under any circumstances. For the next 10 minutes, they waited in complete silence under the flickering light of the candles until the clock struck midnight and the door flew open to reveal, standing in the doorway, the terrifying spectre that had been haunting the man so terribly. But it was the next bit that most shocked the guests, when Saint-Germain claimed to have used the rod of Moses to dispense with the foul-smelling creature. The rod, he claimed, had been given to him by a great-great-grandchild of Moses, back when he was living in the city of Babylon during the reign of Cyrus. If true, this would have placed him there at some time in the 6th century BCE. At one point he turned to his assistant Roger for help in recollecting another of his anecdotes, to which Roger replied, "You forget, master, that I've only been with you for 500 years. Perhaps it is my predecessor that you're thinking of." In the official account, as far as any such thing could be said to exist, in 1779, Count Saint-Germain is said to have arrived in Altona, formerly of the Duchy of Schleswig, but now part of Hamburg in Germany. There he was taken in by Prince Charles of Hesse-Cassel, well known for his interest in the occult and a member of a number of secret societies. The prince was so impressed by the Count's talent for alchemy, he installed a laboratory for him in which to conduct his experiments. In a letter, written by the prince in 1825, he claimed that Saint-Germain confided in him that despite all the rumours, he was in fact only 88 years old when they first met, and that he was the son of Prince Francis Ragotzi of Transylvania. The prince, who was under threat at the time, had apparently sent his son away as a young boy to be raised by the wealthy Medici family in Italy. The claim has never been verified, though the Count was known on occasion to travel under the name Zarogi, an anagram of Ragotzi. It is said that the Count died in February 1784 at the residence given to him by Prince Charles of Hesse-Cassel. He was buried the following month at Nikolai Church in Eckernford, on the coast of the Baltic Sea. The Count's estate on his death was said to include little more than a packet of paid and receipted bills and a small amount of money. Or so some might have it. Four years later, the Count of Chalon, an acquaintance of the Countess of Adhemar, was walking through San Marco Square in Venice when the sight of a familiar face stopped him in his tracks. Recalling the moment to the Countess not long afterwards, he could have sworn it was the Count of Saint-Germain that he'd seen. It would be almost 100 years later when journalist and writer Albert Dresden Van Damme published his book, An Englishman in Paris. The book detailed Van Damme's time spent socialising in the cafes and bars of Paris from 1855 to 1870, and the many interesting bohemian characters that he met there. The account of one such character makes for some startling reading. Major Fraser, though he never dined there, spent an hour or two daily in the Estaminet du Divan to read the papers. He was a great favourite with everyone, though none of us knew anything about his background. In spite of his English name, he was decidedly not English, though he spoke the language. He was one of the best-dressed men of the period and a bachelor. He never alluded to his parentage and lived by himself. He was always flush of money, though the sources of his income were a mystery to everyone. He rarely spoke on the subject of politics, but when he did, everyone sat listening with the raptest attention, for he was a perfect mine of facts. His knowledge of political history was as nothing to his familiarity with the social institutions of every civilized country and of every period. His memory was something prodigious, and even men like Dumas and Balzac confessed themselves his inferiors in that respect. Strange to say, he often used to hint that this was no mere book knowledge. "Of course it is perfectly ridiculous," he remarked with a strange smile, "but every now and again I feel as if all this did not come to me through reading, but from personal experience. At times, I become almost convinced that I lived with Nero and that I knew Dante personally." When Major Fraser died, not a single letter was found in his apartment giving a clue to his antecedents, merely a file of receipts and a scrap of paper detailing his last wishes. His clothes and furniture were to be sold and the proceeds to be given to the Paris poor. If you enjoy Unexplained and would like to help support us, you can now do so via Patreon. To receive access to ad-free episodes, just go to patreon.com/unexplainedpod to sign up. Or if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can go to unexplainedpodcast.com/support. All donations, no matter how large or small, are greatly appreciated. Unexplained, the book and audiobook, featuring 10 stories that have never before been covered on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Waterstones, among other bookstores. All elements of Unexplained, including the show's music, are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim-up bar in Punta Cana, or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.